flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
There's nobody in town in the next week that has more pressure than AK. He's got to do something. He's got to make a move that changes your roster and affects your future.
What you're saying is he's got to get rid of one of the two star players on the team, right? You got two legitimate former All-Stars on the team, and one of them has to go. At least one of them.
You've got to change the complexion of your roster. Yeah. And if you don't, then you have to explain why you chose not to.
And you're not going to win that trade. You got to get it in your mind that you're going
to
lose.
Is it naive to say that winning the trade is less important than making a move at all? Because I think that's the way I feel.
Well, I feel the same way. I don't think he does.
Sources telling Arsham Charania that also sends Zach LaVine to Sacramento. Sacramento gets a really good return in LaVine. And then the Bulls, well, they get back a handful of players and their own 2025 first-round pick they traded to San Antonio.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. The NBA totally caught us by surprise. The NBA apparently, Mr. David, peeved that Christmas was stolen from them by the NFL, and they've decided to take back Super Bowl week.
Good morning, Mully. Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking. We did not have the NFL over the weekend. We did have drama, thanks to the NBA. And wow. Super Bowl week begins with the conversation focused on what went on in the association before yesterday's Bulls big trade we'll get to. But boy, the blockbuster trade of blockbuster trades. Can't remember a deal this surprising. Luka Doncic goes to the Lakers, Anthony Davis to the Mavs. Stunning to see that happen late Saturday night. And then the Bulls trade of Zach LaVine followed on Sunday. So there's a lot of conversation, a lot of things to contextualize for the Bulls and what's next for them.
I think that the idea that the Mavericks traded Luka Doncic in the middle of the night without letting all bidders know, without attempting to see what they could get by being satisfied with a 31-year-old player, local guy made good, Anthony Davis, but Luka is the big name in that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. You know, he's semi-svelte. I understand. and maybe the price of playing poker is going up significantly, but that's a 25-year-old superstar fresh off the NBA Finals a year ago. That's insane.
It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sports sense. And I understand that he was in line to sign a supermax that maybe the team did not want to sign in the offseason. I understand that there were concerns over him going elsewhere, even though he claimed and people around him reportedly agreed that he wasn't planning on going anywhere but Dallas for the remainder of his career. 25 years old,
wow.
Just led the Mavs to the NBA Finals.
It's incredible.
Entering the peak of his season. I'm sorry, the peak of his career.
Career.
And the way that he's being described, in fairness, like they're making him sound big enough to play nose guard for the Rams too, because he's so big and he's so, you know, he gained so much weight. Come on, you get him a good conditioning coach. You put him with a nutritionist. He's a 25-year-old top five NBA player,
and I bet he's a motivated player after that. I bet that this will make him a better player, this experience of being traded, of going to L.A. I don't know what it says about LeBron, because this is not – I'll be very curious to see how they play together and what they can get done, but they definitely need a rim protector, and they definitely need a lift defensively. Are the Lakers done? That is a really strange decision.
I would say, though,
that's moving forward. That's not about this year in the playoffs.
Not so much. Yeah, they probably concluded they weren't in a position to win the title this year.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that, although it also makes them competitive this year if Luka comes back from an injury. They don't have the inside presence that you would want. But moving forward, what they did was they're planning. This is a succession plan. They've now traded for the next great Laker. And you can see over the next decade, Luka Doncic defining that franchise in the way that so many other great players have.
Yes, I agree with that.
And that's.
But I'm just saying, this is not a win-now move for the Lakers, who were in win-now mode, because LeBron's only got, what, one or two? I mean, LeBron's phenomenal.
In fairness, it's not a win-now roster, though.
No.
I don't think they had a win-now roster, even with Anthony Davis. Yep. And it took some hard looking Rob Pelinka, probably some really truths that were maybe hard to accept for some people, but he concluded they're not going to win the NBA title this year.
LeBron had no idea it was coming too.
Well, that's the report, and I wonder how much he was involved. The only reason I don't necessarily scoff at that initially is because to execute this trade to the level of surprise it carried.
Wow.
You had to have so few people involved.
The whole league caught unawares. I mean, it was a shocker.
How about Durant playing, a fan telling him, Kevin Durant on the court, a fan telling him what happened, and he didn't believe him. And then you saw the look on his face captured and spread across social media, and that's the kind of surprise that everybody felt when they heard the news.
How about Vooch saying he woke up and he had 50 texts from people and he thought, oh, where am I going?
Yeah, he was probably filled with anticipation.
It wasn't him being traded.
So he was disappointed.
Yeah.
Well, so I wonder this as we segue into the Bulls. Do you think that the bold nature, the blockbuster nature of that deal Saturday night compelled in any way AK to be like, well, I've got to make a move. If they can trade Luka, I can certainly part with one of my star players.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what happened. I think they were already in motion. I think that deal was already in motion, and I think the timing is largely coincidental.
Okay.
Because the deal is such a big one that you couldn't get all those parties on board. Because guess what? Luka got traded. Yeah. Oh, my God. AD. He and AD swapped teams. Let's make a deal.
Well, I think you're right about it being in motion. I probably had conversations with several teams and wheels in motion. I just wonder if it felt more empowered to do something, because you look around the league and it would have looked really bad. As we heard coming in, we said last week, as late as Friday, with the Bulls, it's almost like you would understand if they got the lesser, they didn't get a great return.
Yeah.
As long as they did something in the name of declaring what direction
they
headed.
Well, we knew they had to do something. And that's, you know, I mean, we hear the cut there where you're saying they have to do something. We agreed on that. They had to, you know, I'll be honest with you, now they really should do something else because they didn't really get much for what they
did.
Well,
now they have to do something else.
What they did is they got salary cap relief, and that's pretty much it. They got their pick assured, but that's okay. They're not going to finish in the top 10 anyway, so that pick won't – they'll be in the lottery anyway now. So I don't know what it is that they are protecting – by getting that pick already done, but I guess technically it's something. And they got a 6'7" point guard. They got a, we'll see if he can play, but they got Kevin Werther, who is a redhead, ginger. Not many gingers in the NBA.
No, there's not.
In history,
I
believe Bill Walton technically is.
Yeah, I guess he was.
Ginger.
How about Scal? Scalabrine count?
But I'm talking about good players.
Yeah, okay. Well,
what you did there.
That's really bad. And
he
was so good to us over the years.
Yeah, lovely fella.
Nice shot there.
Not necessarily.
I think when you get Trey Jones.
I'm talking about the best junior in NBA history.
Trey Jones and Kevin Herter coming to Chicago. They're going to be competitive, but they're not going to be
a team. Aren't they out of contract too? Aren't they kind of?
They might have one more year possibly.
Okay. All right.
So you change the complexion of your team. You intend.
Now it's
ginger. You make your intentions clear.
Will that look good in a red uniform?
I don't know. Boy, you really like the hair stuff.
I'm making fun of it.
Okay.
There aren't a ton of gingers in NBA history. It's not being cruel. It's stating fact.
Well, I'm sure there's a list somewhere. But Vooch is probably on alert because he's likely to be next. I wonder how deep this goes. If Lonzo Ball has any interest with the NBA, you never know who's talking to whom and what deal is likely to be next, because if you can trade Luka Doncic at the height of his career, before he actually reaches his prime, he's 25 years old. He's been in the league 7 years. It just seems like
he's been a pro basketball player for about
forever.
15 years or something. I mean, it's crazy.
And I just don't know if the Mavs are they're going to regret this at some point, if they don't already. I don't understand they must know something or think they know something about his future or about his personality or about something about Luka that makes them think it's worth trading him and giving up the next 10 years of consistency. Because I think he's got another decade in him.
Well, I mean, he's so much – it's just shocking to see a player of that quality traded. I get it. You know, he is, as we said, semi-svelte. He's not a guy who has maximized his ability. He's overweight. He is. And he's got to drop some pounds, and he's got to learn to play on the defensive end. But he's an elite offensive player, and he's a hell of a player. I don't know if the contract was what was debilitating to them. I really have no idea why they made that move. It's not one you would make. You don't trade a guy at age 25 entering his prime. It's just not done. Now, he's out with an injury. He announced to them he'd be back on February 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So he's apparently creating his own timetable for when he's in and when he's out, which, you know, people don't like. But it's a mystery, David. Absolute mystery because of how good he is, and because, you know, he's a guy that got his team to the finals and
almost single handedly. He had a lot of help with Kyrie Irving,
but Kyrie wasn't good in the finals. That's for
no,
sure,
and,
right?
And Luka was the biggest reason,
yes,
and the most consistent piece of that franchise since Dirk Nowitzki left after Luka's rookie season. And you wonder what Nico Harrison's legacy will be. He's the general manager in Dallas. And you wonder what role Mark Cuban had in this, because he has limited ownership now. He sold parts of the team, but he still is involved. How involved? You wonder how he felt about this move, because this just doesn't seem to make sense, and it doesn't seem to equate. And also, they were negotiating with only one team.
Well, that's the mystery.
That's how you make sure that you don't get the most out of your investment. You're negotiating against yourself. You're limiting the bids that will come in. Maybe they had to do that to keep a cloak of secrecy over the whole process. But because one of my first thoughts, too, was if Luka was on the market, did the Bulls have anything they could have tried to give and just get him to Chicago? Because he would be great in Chicago. But I don't think they would have had enough. But
I don't think so.
I would have liked to have seen him shop, though.
Look
at
you could give him six number ones. You know, you give away your future.
Well, Rudy Gobert got five number one picks, didn't he? And Luka Doncic gets a broken down big man and a couple first round. It just doesn't make sense.
Anthony Davis has been hurt quite a bit in his career. That is a fair comment. He's a great defensive player.
He's a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to deny that. He's a Hall of Fame player. Olympian, national champion, NBA champion. He had 40-20 in his last game as a Laker. Look, nobody's disparaging Anthony Davis. Exactly. He went to Perspectives High School. He made something out of his career that is involves a legacy now. But at this stage, you aren't going to get the best days of Anthony Davis. You still might get the best days of Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
And that trade doesn't make sense for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, look, this doesn't make sense for a thousand reasons, but it's done. And then the Bulls move the next day and Zach LaVine is out of town. I mean, that's two big NBA trades. De'Aaron Fox, obviously, the key piece there. It seems like the San Antonio Spurs have moved on in terms of no longer just rebuilding with Wemby. It seems like they're ready to make a move. They're starting to get themselves into a really good position.
This move was spurred by San Antonio's quest to get to the playoffs.
Spurred.
Yes, it was. And I think that it's not the Zach LaVine trade is in Chicago, but around the league it's the De'Aaron Fox trade.
Yeah.
Because the Bulls didn't get much in return. This was about Fox wanting out of Sacramento and joining and aligning himself with Wemby, one of the best big men in the league. And now they have their future tandem. They're the pick and roll machine, and they will probably make a playoff run now. The Bulls, are they going to be what the Bulls are going to be? Zach and DeMar DeRozan are reunited in Sacramento. That's a 500 team. Does he make them better or worse? Probably doesn't move the needle much. Probably doesn't matter. I just don't know how good they're going to be. They don't look like the best team in the West. And the Bulls, meanwhile, we're not done with this week. So there's a sense of that there will be more to come. We'll talk to Casey Johnson at 9 o'clock about that. But, Mully, it's going to be pretty bleak for the rest of the season for the Bulls. And we have a third team that now has picked a lane and is in the midst of a major rebuild in Chicago.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the only conclusion. The fact that they have their draft pick, now you kind of, you know, the reality of the Bulls is they need to win the draft lottery, or they need to finish pretty high in that draft lottery in order to be able to compete in the NBA. And that's just the start of it. But that's the reality of this team. They don't have pieces. There's not like a big youth movement. I mean, I get it that there is, but it's not like they're loaded with NBA players.
There is. There's a youth movement.
Well, I mean, Matas Bezelis, didn't we hear? He was the only guy
that's one. He's got double figures in three games. That's one guy.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That they really need to win the lottery. The sad reality is they won the lottery with Derrick Rose, and that got them better for a little while. Michael Jordan was blessed upon them because other people took the wrong players, and they got Michael Jordan. That's how they've won. The only way they've won is through dumb luck.
Can I throw some numbers at you then?
Sure.
Because you're exactly right. You're exactly right. The Bulls, in declaring this lane that we are going to likely either celebrate or compliment them for at least picking a lane, because I think you have to do that. But they're right now currently 21-29 in ninth place. Their chances and odds of getting the number one overall pick, 4.5%. Let's say they get as good as bad to be the fifth worst team in the league, Toronto. That's five games. They're four and a half games behind the Raptors in terms of being that bad. If they're even fifth worst, they still only have a 9.8% chance of getting the number one pick. So you are doing all of this, sacrificing a season, trading a franchise player to get in a position to have a 10% chance at a number one pick.
No, you're not. You're doing this for one reason, to get out from under the contract. That's it. What you're doing is you're dumping money. This is the equivalent of a Yu Darvish trade. You're just getting rid of salary. You're not getting better, and you're not looking at the odds in the lottery and saying, I'm merely stating the reality is their only hope is to somehow win the lottery and land some magical player who can take them to another level. And I know everyone loves Cooper Flagg. Great if it's Cooper Flagg. There are other players that are going to be in this draft. So you just got to get in the top few picks. But they're not doing this because they want to be in the draft lottery. They're doing this because they don't want to pay Zach LaVine's contract anymore. They got out from under a bad contract.
Yeah, I think one's related to the other, because you're not going to win in professional sports, or it's believed that you can't win unless you bottom out. And the Bulls are in the process of bottoming out.
So that means what? They're going to lose 100 games for a couple of years?
Well, they only play 82.
That was just a reference to another.
Well, it's the equivalent of that. It is. It's the equivalent of that with the White Sox. It's the equivalent of what the Blackhawks did to draft Bedard. And they're still kind of trying to climb out of that hole they dug for themselves. And now the Bulls are headed in that direction. And there's no other kind way to look at it. The Bulls began the process yesterday that's going to take years to rebuild. And the next iteration of the Bulls as a playoff team will look much different than the roster will look much different than it does right now.
Well, today is February 3rd, okay? A Monday. The trade deadline is Thursday. If indeed they're going down, shouldn't they just get rid of everything? Shouldn't they trade everything they can before Thursday?
Now that they begin the process, we said the over-under was 2 on Friday. I think that we were, because Arturis Karnišovas had been so reluctant to make a deal, I thought it would be lower than that. Now I think because you've moved the hardest piece you had to move, it's going to be higher than that. I think this is just the beginning, and we could see two more moves by Thursday, and that would be gutting that roster. And if you're going to do this, you got to do this right and follow all the way through. And you can find all the details about the Bulls on tankathon.com.
Is it Vooch and Lonzo in your mind? Who are the other two?
Well, I think Vooch is the obvious one. Lonzo Ball, there will be some takers. I hope that it's not Kobe White. I hope that it's not Ayo Dosunmu, but they do have the most tradable contracts. Mm. So you might be able to maximize the return. If you're talking about a return on an investment, you would be able to get the most for those two, one or the other. I don't know that both go, but I think there'll probably be a lot of conversation about both. People asking the Bulls, now that they've begun this process, if they could steal themselves a really good piece on a playoff rotation team.
Hmm. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of this goes, because you got a few days here, and the trade deadline, the 6th of February. So
don't you think it would be incompatible for them to keep Vooch if they just traded Zach?
Listen, everything they've done has been incompatible. I mean, it's not – I don't – look at the players that they've gotten rid of and the return that they've gotten for them.
Well,
from DeMar DeRozan to Zach LaVine.
Alex Caruso.
That was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're not making good deals.
So they need luck
in the draft.
If you had a financial planner that you were employing and they were handling your assets this way, you would fire him.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting a return on your investment. You're not getting the maximum out of your assets.
How does AK come out of this? Even if he did get rid of a guy, what is the conclusion when Thursday is over?
It really is a good question. I think we'll talk about it. Probably dominate Friday's show to figure out exactly what you think about AK now. He was in a position that he had to do something, but the return is what is as frustrating as anything. And maybe he didn't have any leverage because everybody knew he had to do something.
Yeah. Well, they got themselves in a really bad situation.
Yeah, it's a really bad situation.
And it's not getting any better, that's for sure. All right. We've got all the stories of the day, of the weekend. We're going to tear it all up. What a couple of blockbuster trades in the league. Incredible. The first Bears? Time that there are four 20-point scorers traded.
Wow.
At a trade deadline.
That's the first time. And it's not. We're not done yet.
No.
Bears had an interesting hire, too. Bears added to their staff.
Yes.
Eric Bieniemy.
Yep. And they're still missing a spot. So we'll get to that as well. All in the pick six, which is next. It's Mully and Hall on the score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinking Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did the Bulls trading Zach LaVine declare a lane, and how do you feel about the return, and how would you describe the Bulls' plan now?
Yeah, I think that they did declare a lane. They declared that they were in full-blown rebuild and they weren't going to try to get into the play-in anymore. How do I feel about the return? They didn't really get a return. They got their own draft pick that was top 10 protected. They got that assured, and they picked up a few players, but kind of bodies. I don't think anybody who is really going to be a notable improvement to the franchise. Out of the three guys, maybe the ginger-haired point guard can help replace the horrible Australian point guard that they've been relying on. That's just being mean. The Bulls plan, as I described it earlier, would be pray for lottery magic. That's their plan, because that's the only way out of the horrible situation they're in. They just don't have enough talent, and they are not a good enough team. So pray that you land some great luck in the lottery. They need luck. That's their plan.
Hashtag tank for flag. Tankathon is here. David tweeted that out last night. The Bulls have picked a lane. They are looking to rebuild yet again. I would expect that Vooch will be the next one gone, and then we have to just see how far will this go ahead of the Thursday trade deadline. The Bulls went 248 and 349 during the Max LaVine era. They made the playoffs one time. They had a 415 winning percentage. Of course, he didn't play in every single one of those games, which is also part of the issue. So good luck to Zach. He wasn't a bad guy. It just didn't work out. They had no choice but to pay him the Max LaVine contract that they did, and now they have a lane. Hashtag tank for flag.
Yeah, Zach LaVine's sixth Bulls all-time leading scorer, and he didn't have a great record as a Bull. That goes without saying, even though you repeated it. I get why people look at it that way. They had to trade him, and I do think he's also one of the more unappreciated players in Chicago sports over the last decade. That said, they had to move him because this is the way it works in the NBA. The Bulls have escaped what we describe as NBA purgatory or the mediocrity in the middle. They've separated themselves now intentionally. So this trade for a shooting guard and Kevin Huerter and a point guard and Trey Jones, those are just names that are part of a trivia answer one day. Who did Zach LaVine get traded for? Those guys aren't necessarily going to be part of this team. Probably as long as their contracts are through next year, maybe they will be guys who fit in. Doesn't matter, because now they are intentionally losing to get themselves in the best draft position for what they feel like is a generational draft class. After the first three guys, you wonder if that is indeed a good assumption. But if they can get in the top three, it changes the course of their franchise. But you know what? Luck and hope, that's not a plan. That's luck and hope. And we should add prayer as well, because I'm sure that there are a lot of Bulls fans that will be on their knees praying for Cooper Flagg in June. So this is the way they're going to roll the dice. This is the direction they're going to go. They had to do something. We're not going to focus on the return. But Arturis Karnišovas, I wonder how we're going to feel about his future come Friday morning. There's still work to do.
I'm not really in the mood to answer that question.
What was your reaction to Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis trade, and can you believe the deal like that has been done? Who won, the Mavs or the Lakers? And please tell us why.
This was a Lakers blowout victory. I understand that Anthony Davis is a Hall of Fame player, and you basically abandoned your chance to win an NBA title this year if you thought that you were in a position to win one. But I don't think they were in a position to win one. I don't think that as great as LeBron has been, and boy, was he good Saturday night at 40 years old, but I just don't think this looks like an NBA championship roster. Luka Doncic was not going to stay in Dallas, according to the way that the Mavericks leadership looked at it. It doesn't sound like that was the case if you heard and read Luka Doncic's farewell to Dallas and you get some reports from what that was like. But I don't understand this trade. I'm not sure I'm going to understand this trade in a day, a week, or a year. This is trading a 25-year-old top five player entering his prime. This is the next great Laker. The next time the Lakers win an NBA championship, it will be with Luka Doncic cutting down the nets and being the MVP of that series. And they are in a position to do that because they've got probably another decade of him, and I don't see him leaving L.A. It is the NBA. You never know. But it was shocking. It was surprising, and you had to look twice to make sure that it wasn't Shams Charania's Twitter account being hacked, because this was a Shams bomb.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of got Woj bomb, right? Woj got to sleep through all that, didn't have to text or anything. You know, this came in the middle of the Arkansas-Kentucky game I was watching. I was kind of fading in and out, and I thought, wait a minute, am I really seeing this correctly? And if you're of a certain age and you like to listen to the NBA on the radio, you guys remember Chick Hearn? You guys remember Chick Hearn? His famous call. The game's in the refrigerator. The door's closed. The light's out. The eggs are cooling. The butter's getting hard. And the Jell-O is jiggling. That was all Lakers. All right? That was a slam dunk. You know what this means? It means that once LeBron James does call it a day, and maybe this adds a year or two to LeBron's legacy because Luka could carry the day. LeBron isn't going to have to carry the day. Anthony Davis wasn't tough enough to carry it. Should have been, but Anthony Davis was always going to be number two. Was never going to be number one. Was never going to lead a franchise. The Mavs can't. Listen, this is all about Supermax. Not Max LaVine, Supermax. The new owners of the Mavs don't want to pay Luka Supermax. And I will never forget. This should be a t-shirt. Chicago guy made good, Michael Finley, taking a beer out of Luka's hand after the NBA Finals last year and walking away. And Luka being like, what is up with that? Okay, so the Lakers won. This thing is over. Luka to the Lakers is a slam dunk home run for the LA Lakers.
Yeah, it's a really wild move, man. I mean, it's an incredible trade. I don't know. I was trying to think of what would be comparable, of what NBA trade has ever kind of shocked me in that way. There were really not many. I know that when you look around the league, a lot of players were talking about it and asked about it, and it was pretty wild to just hear the various comments. I guess LeBron choosing Miami, but that wasn't a trade, right? That was his choice. So it's just a shocker of a deal. And again, one because they didn't do it openly, not one that you knew who wanted what and how they were going to line up the deal or any. A lot of rumors floating around in the NBA, never anything like this. So it was a total stunner. I don't know how, whoever gets the better player wins. And I understand Anthony Davis has been a great player and is a great defensive player, but I think Luka is the best player in the deal. So I think the Lakers win the deal just by virtue of getting the great Slovenian himself. He's probably the better player of the two, can score a hell of a lot more. And again, the fact that how many years younger is he? He's 25, 6 years younger. Is that right? It's crazy to me. So, yeah, I mean, hell of a deal, really altering of the landscape of the league. And I guess it's Luka and Bronny moving forward.
That's a great question.
Do you like the addition of Eric Bieniemy to the Bears offensive staff as the team's running backs coach? Do you believe Ryan Poles was in position to recommend or reject the idea since he was with Bieniemy in Kansas City 2013 to 2021? Is it good to have a couple of former NFL OCs on the staff in Press Taylor and Bieniemy?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think, as many offense coordinators as you can get, that's pretty good stuff. No problem with that. I think that I don't think Ryan Poles was not in a position to do much about this deal. Whether it's recommending or rejecting, I don't think that's his role anymore. And I believe Kevin Warren was with him before that. Eric Bieniemy was in Minnesota when Warren was there, so maybe they crossed over too. Eric Bieniemy is a real mystery to me because, you heard things in Kansas City about him, like he was, one of the guys that was holding Mahomes accountable, didn't mind telling the great young quarterback to get in line and to do everything. And, but it's not like Mahomes is a discipline problem, quite the opposite. He's a really good football player. I think that Bieniemy, got the offensive coordinator role when Matt Nagy left. I don't know how well he did with it. He did not have very much success when he went to be an OC in Washington, but what was there, right? So I don't know how to judge him. I always felt, I met Eric Bieniemy down in at the Senior Bowl one time, and I found him to be a really nice guy. I had a conversation with him. I thought he was a good dude. Just when you meet a guy like that dealing with his peers, etc. So I'm happy that they got him, and I think that they could use his help as a running backs coach. So it's a good move.
Star-studded.
That's the voice of Mike Florio. He was reacting to what the four-letter network said, that Ben Johnson was putting together a star-studded staff. This is a guy that Bears fans wanted at one point to be the OC, and a handful of people wanted him to be the head coach of the Bears. So this is good. This is Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid stink. Okay, this is Andy Reid, Patrick, and what are they looking to do? They're looking to three-peat, cha-ching, Pat Riley. They are looking for three NFL championships in a row, something that has never happened. So this, there's nothing negative about this. And here's the other thing. Ben Johnson is so sure of himself and so comfortable of the position he is in, he's not worried about bringing in a guy that might take his job. Because he's got 5 or 6 years with checks coming in big time from the McCaskies. So he's not afraid to bring good people around to help his offense out. This is a good move.
Yeah, I like Ben Johnson being willing to hire guys who are head coaching candidates, who might be to a lesser man, or somebody who is less confident in himself, considered threats to the job or questioning him. He's not afraid of that, and he's leaning into it, and that's a smart Press Taylor. Last week, Eric Bieniemy. This week, Eric Bieniemy has the reputation, and as Dustin eloquently refers to his Kansas City stink on him, so he can bring that to Chicago. He's also got a reputation for being a guy not afraid to challenge players in Washington, to the point where Ron Rivera revealed that players were confiding in him, concerned about how hard he coached them. So that's something that makes you not hesitant, but certainly maybe the Bears need some of that. Maybe they recognize some of that. He also comes to the Bears after just 1 year at UCLA on that staff. So you wonder, why did he leave there, under what circumstances? But he's back in the NFL, coaching running backs again like he did in Minnesota and Kansas City. And this might be a good landing spot for him. I don't know what his future will hold. How long is he going to be here? But it's good, because this is, if not a star-studded staff, it is a staff full of guys who have called plays before, been in really creative offenses before, and you never can have enough of that.
There's no question.
Is it strange at all that the Bears have yet to hire an offensive line coach, perhaps the most important position on this staff, especially given the Bears' OC woes?
OL woes. Offensive line woes, sorry.
With Hank Fraley sticking in Detroit with the Lions, OSU coach Justin Fry signing with the Arizona Cardinals, is it Dan Rauscher or bust now for the Bears?
It sounds like it would be that, in terms of the experience and the fact there's been no activity. Dan Rauscher is a guy that's respected, but I don't know if something's holding it up. It's unclear what's holding this up. Justin Fry going to the Arizona Cardinals was a bit of a surprise, but I don't know all the teams that were interested in him. Ohio State, by the way, has got a real coaching void in that staff. You see Chip Kelly now going to the Raiders for $6 million a year. $6 million a year to call plays for Pete Carroll. Can you believe that? That's more than how many head coaches make in the NFL. So he's going back. Ohio State's guys have got to fill now two big key positions on that national championship staff. Three, actually, because of the defensive coordinator left, too. But this is about the Bears. Dan Rauscher, not sure what the holdup is, but he seems to be the most qualified candidate. If not him, then who?
It is worrisome and troublesome. As pointed out, the Bears have had offensive line woes up and down. And here's Ryan Poles, and I get it to a certain extent, fancies himself as a guy who knows a thing or two about the offensive line. And I'm worried a little bit now that Ryan Poles thinks he knows a thing or two about who can coach an offensive line. It seems like, what's going on? It is troubling. It's worrisome. Maybe they're going to knock it out of the park. Maybe they're going to kick another 60-yard walk-off field goal against the Packers, and they're going to add, you know, another guy, and it's going to be star-studded, and I'm going to be floored. But I'm waiting. I'm waiting, and I'm waiting.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I look at this one, and I'm not entirely sure if they're on, like, plan B, plan C? Like, what was their plan? Hank Fraley, was that kind of what they were hoping for? But he's not going anywhere. I've heard good things about Rauscher. I don't know what the delay is. I'd like to get that position filled. I think it's kind of odd that the two positions that haven't been filled yet are OL and DL, and those are as important as any positions on a coaching staff. You really need the guy that's working with the offensive line. The offensive line is the team within a team, and it just takes a certain bonding, and they've got a lot of uncertainty there, so they really got to get that hire right. And I kind of feel the same way about the defensive line. Now I'm going to give the coordinator a little more leeway because he hasn't already been interviewing people. But I would be a little bit nervous if they don't get any of these guys, and they're kind of going back to the drawing board on an offensive line coach. That would disturb me a little bit.
You asked me that question in like 15 years.
As Super Bowl week begins, what's the main theme? Who's the villain and who's the hero, and who got the best and the most at stake this week in terms of legacy?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of really good storylines to this game. I think that legacy is the three-peat, and that's probably the best storyline, cha-ching, as Dustin said, for Pat Riley, who registered that as a trademark, I believe. So I don't think we thought it would happen in the NFL. It's never, no one's ever been in a position, and this team's in position. I think that's kind of the biggest story. I think that, you know, for that reason, maybe people are turning on the Chiefs, too much success, arrogance, etc. There's been this suggestion that they scored 32 points last week in the NFC Championship game. It's the first time that they broke 30 this entire season. And the idea is, well, they were just kind of laying in the weeds. You know, they didn't really try. They didn't call the good plays until they got to the NFC Championship. And now they're really going to open up the playbook for the Super Bowl, and they'll get their 40. I mean, it's kind of, that is the height of arrogance, isn't it? To just suggest that you didn't really try this year and you still ended up as the top seed and are in the Super Bowl. I think that that's a big deal. I think people are kind of mad about that for whatever reason. The greatness of Saquon Barkley is a really fun one. I just think that when we look at this Super Bowl, the idea of kind of the rematch 2 years later, but totally different on one side as opposed to the other, the Vic Fangio. How about Vic Fangio? 0-8 career against Patrick Mahomes quarterback teams. That's ridiculous. That's another fun one. But I think there's excellent storylines. I think the people with the most legacy are definitely the three-peat.
Well, three-peat is the theme. There's no doubt three-peat's the theme. Villain is interesting. I think it depends on like who your favorite team is in the NFL. You could find a villain. You know, did you perhaps miss on a draft pick? Another villain could be, could Tom Brady be looked at as a villain? Does he deserve to be in that spot? Did he take the spot away? Does he deserve it? You know, as an NFL owner, are we going to get the best broadcast because he cannot prepare like other broadcasters can prepare? Is he a villain? Also, you know, is he rooting against Patrick Mahomes? Because, listen, Patrick Mahomes' legacy is what's at stake. It's not the Chiefs' legacy. It's not even Andy Reid's legacy. Michael Jordan became the GOAT when he three-peated. And Patrick Mahomes can become the Michael Jordan of the NFL by three-peating on Sunday. So that's whose legacy is most at stake. And the theme is three-peat.
Just curious, last week when I said that Michael Jordan and Patrick Mahomes in the same sentence, did you not scoff at me?
When said I said they weren't comparable.
I said they
sports.
Weren't comparable, but he wants to be the Michael Jordan of the NFL. Yes.
I'm just saying. I'm listening.
There's a listening. Yes, you are, but there and is the difference. He cannot be the greatest of all time. Michael Jordan will be always the greatest of all time, period, full stop.
All right, legacies at this Super Bowl, there's always legacies at a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes is probably at the top of the list, but, you know, this could be Travis Kelce's last game. And he may go down as one of the best tight ends ever. He will go down as one of the best, if not the best. Andy Reid's on a chase to set records, and you wonder how much longer he has. It doesn't sound like he's ready to slow down anytime soon. But I do think that all of that could be interrupted, impeded by the Eagles and the debate over the value of the running back position in the NFL, because Saquon Barkley could dominate this game. And he could dominate this game because of their offensive line. Then Jalen Hurts, him winning a Super Bowl puts him in a different category. It just does historically, because all the questions about whether you can or can't with the second round draft pick and all these things. And then you have really what the game could come down to, and the brilliance of Vic Fangio finding a way to finally beat Patrick Mahomes. But he's got this defense playing at a high level because of he pushes the right buttons. And sadly, from the Bears fan perspective, when you look at that Eagle defense and you realize what it can do if the Eagles win in stopping Patrick Mahomes, it will be because Jalen Carter could be the best player on the field. And Jalen Carter could dominate a Super Bowl. And if Jalen Carter has his legacy enhanced by being the Super Bowl MVP, it's going to be a hard thing to take here in Chicago. But that's the legacy when you talk about it. It's beyond the Michael Jordan-Patrick Mahomes comparison.
All right, Vegas Haw, put your money where your mouth is. When we get to predictions on Friday, your Super Bowl MVP, I want to look at what kind of odds your guy has there for a defensive MVP out of this Super Bowl. No shot.
That's the beauty of it. That's the legacy part of it.
It's a great question, David.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's with Mully and Haw at 7:44 this morning. What do you think of Bruce's proposing a Justin Steele for Dylan Cease trade? What's the motivation for each team in that such deal? And how about another deal by the Cubs and a White Sox part of this? Nicky Lopez sticking around in town as insurance potentially at second base. It's a minor league invite. And Nick Madrigal, the former White Sox and Cub, is now with the Mets.
Well, I think that I spat out my coffee on Saturday morning hearing Bruce suggest Justin Steele for Dylan Cease. What? Why? I think if you want Dylan Cease, I'm all for that. But do you have to trade one ace to get another? And wouldn't that defeat the purpose? I know he's a power pitcher, they're different guys, but Justin Steele's been part of the organization since 2014. Do you really want to trade him? I don't like that. Bruce, tell me more. Can't wait till 7:45. As for Nicky Lopez, he must really like Chicago because he's coming back home and they are going to use him in a way that I don't know how they're going to use him. How many utility infielders can the Cubs collect? Because they're on like three or four. Thank goodness they traded Mastroboni. It would get very crowded in the corner of that clubhouse. I don't know what they're doing with Nicky Lopez. Is he cover for Nico Horner? Is he covered for Matt Shaw? Is he covered for Dansby Swanson? Is the injury worse than we thought? The recovery going bad? I don't know. Nick Madrigal or Nicky Lopez, who's going to have the better season? I think it's going to be, I don't know. I say Madrigal probably.
Is Nicky Lopez a better baseball player than Miles Mastroboni? I can't believe I'm actually saying this right now. Is Nicky Lopez better than Miles Mastroboni?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, David said yeah, emphatically. So, okay. I mean, local guy made good. Naperville guy, I'm all for it. But I hope it's not for all the reasons David just said, which is covering for, you know, three-fourths of your infield that you're not 100% sure about, as pitchers and catchers report on the ninth day of the month. As far as the trade, it almost feels like when the Cubs got the new right fielder, but then traded away Bellinger. We wanted to see those two guys in the same lineup. Wouldn't you want to see Dylan Cease and Steele in the same rotation? So is this the Cubs can't have two good things? They can only have one good thing at a time? I can't wait for 7:45 either, David. Look at that. We agree.
Yeah, I think this is a strange one. I'm not quite certain. You know, Justin Steele is on a 1 year deal at $6.55 million, right? That was the arbitration agreement. Whereas Cease is on the final year of his deal at $13.75 million. So you're talking about two guys in the final year of their deal. Are you afraid that Cease would cost more money moving forward? Are you going to sign him, I guess, would be the question. If you were to trade Justin Steele for Dylan Cease, does that mean now you're going to give him the big money contract? Or are you saving that for Kyle Tucker? Are you only doing this for a year? And how? Why would you do that if you feel like Steele would be cheaper in the long run? And isn't Cease more likely to win a Cy Young? I mean, I don't know. Are they doing one-year rentals? Is that all they're doing, the Cubs? Are they just kind of signing guys for a year?
Going for it this year.
They're going year to year?
It feels like they're going for it this year.
Well, I mean, if it felt that way, then they'd do more. And that leads me to this Nicky Lopez, Nick Madrigal thing. Well, what's going on in the world? You know, I just don't quite understand. Why are the Cubs content with getting kind of utility men in here? It seems like they got a couple of utility guys now. I'm not quite certain what their cover is for. It's weird to me. Are they worried about the young guys coming up, or do they feel that's enough cover, having a guy that can defensively play a lot of different positions? It's just a weird one. And who's going to have the better year, Nicky Madrigal with the Mets, or if Nick Lopez can get up here, would it be him? I mean. The whole thing kind of just leaves you boggled a little bit. There's a lot of names, a lot of familiarity, and a lot of uncertainty. Just a real oddball one.
And a lot of utility infielders.
That's what I'm saying.
What's the difference between Vidal, Brujan, and Nicky Lopez? The guy they traded for the Marlins, and how do they all fit on a roster?
We got the extra point next. Maybe we can deal with it then. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 673.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Now that the Bulls have picked a lane and Arturis Karnišovas has traded Zach LaVine to begin a rebuild, are Billy Donovan's days numbered? And how much longer is the longest tenured Cub coach or manager in town going to be around?
Well, that was one of the first things I thought of. Billy Donovan ended up in Chicago because he didn't have the appetite, or so it was reported, to be part of a rebuild in Oklahoma City, where he never had a losing season. Billy Donovan never had a losing season in Oklahoma City and had a winning year in Chicago only once in five seasons. So it's going to get worse before it gets better, and I do wonder what his appetite is for it now. He has been here 5 years. And in the NBA head coaching lifespan, that is an eternity. I do not think that he should be held responsible for what comes next. I think he could be a really solid game coach, in-game coach, handle all the personalities as well as he does, and sound like he's the smartest guy in the room on most occasions, as he does. But it's going to be a difficult reality for any head coach to embrace and to endure. So I do wonder what's next for him. Maybe we don't know what's next for Arturis Karnišovas. My sense is that they've had these conversations preemptively, so they know what is next. Or they have a better sense. Maybe Michael Reinsdorf is the guy to answer these questions best, because the futures of everybody would seem to be in question when you have declared that you are going to be getting worse before you get better. And your plan is so heavily reliant on hope and luck. I don't know if Billy Donovan wants to be around for that. He probably would never acknowledge that, but you have to wonder if the competitor inside him is ready for that. So I think he's the guy that you got to keep an eye on. I wonder about the future of AK, as we'll continue to discuss that this week as the trade deadline arrives on Thursday. But I don't think you can assume anything about the future with the Bulls.
David, I think it's an interesting lane that you're going there about Billy Donovan, but I mean, does Billy Donovan whether he has an appetite or not. Does Billy Donovan have a whole lot of places to go? I mean, is everybody clamoring to hire a Billy Donovan? Does he want to go back to college? Does he like living the NBA lifestyle? Here's what I think, and I've been banging this for a long time. Ever since Billy benched Zach in Orlando, that relationship has been strained. Now, he went and visited him in L.A., blah, 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 blah. Okay? Billy Donovan won. Billy Donovan got a victory. Billy Donovan's dancing. He got rid of that guy. He didn't like that guy. He didn't fit what Billy Donovan wanted. Okay? He's gone. Billy Donovan wins. Billy Donovan will continue to be the longest tenured active skipper coach in town.
I got to tell you, when I read this question, I thought it was a strange one because it made it, our Billy Donovan's days numbered. It made me feel like now that they started the teardown, are they going to fire Billy? So I was kind of thinking, wow, well, you know, the Reinsdorfs don't like to pay coaches to not coach, to pay managers to not manage. They don't, they only kind of will do that as sort of a, after trying other things as a last ditch type thing. But you're saying, well, Billy stepped down because he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. I believe Billy turned 60 in May. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's now totally an NBA lifer type, if he wants to stay here, if he has an appetite for it. He loves basketball. I think we know that. Does he love the idea of rebuilding with younger players? Does he prefer to have the veteran types around him? I think Billy Donovan is a really good coach. I think that they got to start looking at AK a little differently. He's had his turn, and they put their plan in place, and it didn't work. I mean, they didn't. It just flat out didn't work. And when he came in here, he inherited a roster. I guess the only guy left is Coby White. And, you know, Coby's the only guy that kind of developed a little bit in that time. But did he really develop, or was he just better than people thought he was because he was a schoolboy legend as a scorer and he's managed to score? I don't know. I don't know how good a job AK's done. And, I think Billy Donovan probably will have his say in this. I'm wondering how long AK gets his say in this, because that's the one that you would say failed to put together what he was hired to do. And it's been a while now. You know, you're going on 5 years and you've gone nowhere. You haven't gotten anything accomplished. So I think that they're, you know, the imaginary team that was together for 37 games, I don't know how much time that buys you. And I don't know how many rebuilds it buys you. They did get out from a lot of salary by trading Zach. So does that mean he's going to spend it differently? Hey, could you go into the free agent market and come up with $229 million and convince Luka to come here next year? Wouldn't that be something? It'd be hilarious. I don't know. I don't know what the Bulls – I can't read this team at all. I can't read ownership. I can't read why they're going back to the well, but it's an interesting question. What does Billy want? That's a much more interesting question than what the Bulls want.
And part of you wonders if 7 months, 8 months later, after he turned down a chance to go to Kentucky, back to college basketball, where he would be in a position to win a championship pretty much every year, does he still feel as committed to the NBA?
That is a completely different game than the one that he coached, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he coached a team that stayed together and won titles.
It's a different sport.
Different
parameters.
Yeah.
Coaching still matters, but I do wonder if I doubt it, he regrets it. He doesn't really. He makes these sound decisions, but I do wonder about what's next.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. Were you stunned by the action in the NBA this weekend? Were you pleased to see the back of Zach LaVine, or do you have hesitation about that one? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We have more breaking news here in the NBA. Our Sham Sharanya reporting that Sacramento is finalizing a trade that sends De'Aaron Fox to San Antonio. It's a multi-team trade that also moves the Chicago Bulls' Zach LaVine to the Kings. Brian Windhorst, contextualize this for us.
Victor Wembanyama has a running mate now with De'Aaron Fox. Yep. It's what De'Aaron Fox wanted. The Kings are going to get Zach LaVine, who is a replacement playmaker, and a couple of first-round picks here. The Bulls are going to offload some salary and start sort of a more tank process to keep their draft pick.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Yeah, there you go. That's the ESPN report of the trade. I don't know, David. I don't know that that the Bulls did very well in that trade, but they definitely were a part of it.
A tank process is the way it was described. Yeah. By the NBA insider.
How much can they tank?
As much as they possibly can. Getting rid of an all-star caliber player ensures you more likely to lose than win. And right. I guess that's the idea.
Okay, but I'm saying, you know, Dustin said earlier that they've got to get in a position to get Cooper Flagg. They can't really do that without the bouncing balls going their way, right?
That's what they need. I guess they're increasing every chance they can, doing all that's within their power to lose. And that is the tank process. Unfortunately, we've been down this road before in Chicago too many times. Too many times. It's tiresome, actually.
312-644-6767. Let's try Dave. He's on the road. Hey, Dave.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
This trade, I feel bad about it, and I think maybe it's for good for the Bulls. Do you think that with Zach being in Sacramento and the Bulls rebuilding a contending team, do you think he's thinking, I hope sometime we can meet in the finals? Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't think in the future
of this Bulls?
No. I don't really, Dave. Thanks for the phone call.
Dave. No,
no, I think he's in Sacramento, and he's reunited with DeMar DeRozan. They're a 500 team flirting with respectability, very similar to what the Bulls were supposed to be this year, a team that was flirted with respectability.
That's so weird that he's back with DeMar DeRozan.
It is. It? Yeah, it is. They have played well together. They were a pretty dynamic duo. They didn't really win anything here, but they're good teammates, and now the Kings are probably going to be, they're in that 10th spot in the West. They're in that murky territory. So they lose De'Aaron Fox. They trade him to San Antonio. That's the team, the Spurs, out of this entire deal we're talking about here. Not the blockbuster deal, but the one involving the Bulls. The Spurs got better. The Spurs were the only team that you can look at and say definitively, they are the reason for this trade, and they have improved.
Yeah, I think they have gotten better. I don't know that I'd want to be in Sacramento. That's not a great town. What do you think?
That's certainly.
Have you spent much time in Sacramento?
Not really.
State capital. It's like center of homeless people in California.
I think Zach Levine's making more than $40 million a year to play basketball. I think I'd be pretty happy wherever I planted my feet in the morning.
I guess he's already on the West Coast. He's closer.
He's closer to probably his home base. Yeah, in Seattle.
Yeah.
And his coach, Doug Christie, is actually a Seattle native, I believe they go back to. So
they have a long time.
They have a little bit of a relationship there. And I'm sure Zach is a good teammate and a consummate pro. He'll carve his niche there if he stays there.
Yeah, and I mean, DeMar's close enough to L.A. I gotcha. It's just not a great town, just being honest. I don't think you win when you wind up in Sacramento, even if you make that kind of money, David, even if you're getting paid like that. It'll be fun to see what happens the rest of the way. All right, we've got a lot to get to. We're going to bring in our guy Brad Biggs. We're going to find out what's going on with the coaching staff, in particular the offensive line coach, and we'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.